section86.com.
How y'all doing? Welcome back to the Bootlegger Sam Radio Show.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of Creative Tragedy.
It's the Hank and Chain Show.
Of It Burns on IP, the only podcast around that talks about real country music.
Welcome to the Kiwani Sports League.
Welcome to Vertebreaker, your weekly insight into the world of professional wrestling and pop culture.
Changing the world of podcasting.
After you get done jerking off, it kind of just looks like a little popsicle.
One show at a time.
Insomnia approved.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I've been trying to tell this guy for like fucking a year and a half.
Ladies and gentlemen, step right up. Come one, come all, and witness the dirtiest freak show on the internet. Grab your ticket now and enter at your own risk. What you are about to hear is...
Norma Jean, don't forget to remind everybody they can now see us at IBWIP TV.
Why do you have to interrupt every intro?
Duh, because I'm a control freak.
That is true, but you really mess up my mojo. Let's try this again. What you're about to hear and see will disgust you, offend you, and entertain you all at the same time. You'll hear great real country music, Blake's somewhat witty hosting ability, creepy guy's sick thoughts, and of course, my sexy voice.
I knew that was coming.
What? I'm one sexy piece of ass. Just ask Randy and Donnie fucking Cash. Welcome, everyone, to the greatest show on the Midway. It Burns When I Pee, episode 23, Carnies Are a Girl's Best Friend.
He's not just some guy, Marge. He's a carny and part of a noble tradition. Carnies built this country. The carnival part of it, anyway. And though they may be rat-like in appearance, they are truly kings among men.
Okay, let's go, Fatty.
Yes, sir.
1, 2, 3.
Hello, everyone. This is Big G from Big G's Texas Roadshow. On tonight's installment of VH1's Behind the Music, we chronicle the rise and fall of the once famous podcast, It Burns When I Pee. It's a tragic tale of sex, drugs, and real country music. Many of you will be shocked at how this once world-famous cast went from being on top of the world to utter shame and misfortune. Well, all but one of them. Join us as we begin the journey of this tragic story. It all started way back in 2007 when host Blake Clayton started a little podcast called It Burns When I Pee. Little did he know this small show would eventually make him a household name and finally an inmate at the Bora Bora Correctional Facility. We spoke with Blake during visiting hours just a few short weeks ago. Here is his tragic story. Blake, tell us in your own words what happened once It Burns When I Pee hit satellite radio and you got your show syndicated.
Well, Big G, it all happened so fast. It seems like only yesterday that Norma Jean, Creepy Guy, and I changed the show up and really started to get popular. God, that was back in like 2008 or early 2009, I guess. Man, it was fun. Then we got signed to Sirius Satellite Radio, and that's kind of where it all went downhill. We were making some big-time scratch, like $50 a week. But looking back on it, it was the fame that did us in.
Once It Burns When I Pee hit satellite radio, Blake and the crew pushed the envelope even further than before. The more they risked, the more they picked up followers and began to spin out of control. Here is Blake's brother, Matt.
Blake became obsessed with the show, writing bits and constantly on MySpace. He wouldn't even leave the studio. He just kept clicking refresh on his Gmail account, over and over and over.
Blake's obsession and isolation caused tension with his co-hosts, Creepy Guy and Norma Jean.
The guy became a fucking asshole. He would scream at the top of his lungs if we didn't read the line just right. Fucking nuts. When he wanted me to have sex with that contest winner from South America, that's when I was done. Looking back, I wish I would have gotten him some help, though. What happened? It's just so horrible.
Since Blake would never leave the studio, his only contact with the opposite sex came in the form of a call girl named Bella. This relationship was not only pricey, but it was also the beginning of the end for Blake and his show.
He would text me like 6 times a day to have sex. He would only last like 5 minutes, so I never charged him for the whole hour. He was a nice guy, but kind of freaky. After a while, he started wearing women's panties and always wanting to act like he was a monkey. It was getting too weird, so I had to cut him off. I mean, I know I'm smoking hot, but this guy was nuts.
When we return, Hal Blake finally hit rock bottom and ended up in the Bora Bora Correctional Facility.
Well, I've turned down lots of ladies, just trying to stay true. Come to find out you've been cheating while I'm out paying dues. Well, I hope you had your fun, girl. Yeah, I hope you had a ball. I said I turned down lots of ladies. I never said I turned down them all. There was those two chicks down in Memphis, and that blonde down in L.A., and that redhead down in Florida. Swore she'd never say I got the devil in my corner. I got showbiz in my blood, and I won't ever tell you. I always thought we'd be together. I never thought I'd hear you lie. Lord knows I ain't no angel, and God knows I ain't the Pope. But when you're out here on the road, it's so hard to say no. Like that chatterbox in Texas, and that stripper in Spokane, and that girl down in Solano Beach, she did the whole damn band. I got the devil in my corner. I got showbiz in my blood. I won't ever tell you I'm gonna give it up, 'cause I'm a man.
Welcome, everyone, to episode 23 of It Burns When I Pee. Carnies are a girl's best friend. Have you ever had sex with a carny?
Dude, carnies have small hands that smell like cabbage. Not good.
Small hands smell like cabbage. Well, welcome, everybody, and welcome to the people tuning in on Pia Vision. And I am Blake Clayton, the host, and this is the lovely, the talented, the always here.
I know.
Norma Jean. Norma Jean, welcome to the show. Just to let everybody know, if you're just tuning in, if we receive $50 worth of donations by 8 o'clock, you will show them your boobies with the bra on. So, Donnie Cash, get your money out, buddy. We just got done listening to the song, Bob Wayne, and his song Chatterbox, and I've met many women like that before, but that's just me.
So, not me. It's not me.
It's not me.
Wasn't me.
So, wasn't me.
It was me.
So,
it was the monkey.
it was the little boy.
Have you seen that?
No.
Rocket Man.
No.
Oh, it's hilarious. You have to see it. It's funny. He goes, it wasn't me. It was the furry one.
Jesus Christ. All right, so Norma Jean, why don't you go over the show lineup so everybody knows what's going to be on this episode.
Yeah, okay. So the show lineup is... okay. We're going to have an interview with Bob Wayne from Bob Wayne and the Outlaw Carnies. And we're going to have some music from Rodeo Kill and Kings of Hell, along with 3 songs from Bob Wayne. We're also going to talk about IBWIP's trip to Split Lip Rayfield concert. We went to Champaign and checked that out. We're also going to, I lost my place, talk about fan feedback. And we're going to talk about Creepy Guy's Super Bowl win and much, excuse me, sorry. What did he win?
We'll talk about that later. He won the Fantasy Football Super Bowl.
Who did he pick?
Players.
So, oh, okay. So it's all players. I don't know. I've never done the fantasy football, but my team is in the Super Bowl. I'm fucking pumped.
God.
Anyway.
Anyway, I want to, since Donnie fucking Cash is checking us out, I want to go ahead and say thank you to him for doing the CMA Awards on MySpace. We won Best Podcast for Real Country Music.
Really?
Yeah.
Nuh-uh.
And I didn't pay anybody anything.
Really?
Yeah, it was awesome.
Cool.
So thanks to all the fans out there that voted for us, because it was all like fans. And definitely thank you to Donnie fucking Cash, the man, for taking a lot of time to put that thing together. And it was super cool. It was kind of nice to know that people don't think we suck.
Yeah, I'm sure. Everybody likes us, just because I'm on here.
Everybody likes you.
I'm just kidding.
So.
And then we're going to talk about if I use my present.
Yeah,
and,
your Christmas
creepy
present.
Yeah, creepy. He doesn't like girls. He likes boys, so I doubt he used the girl doll. You should have got him a boy.
It's at my house. We're going to bring her out later on.
Ooh.
Hello. Yes. Her name is Destiny. You can see pictures of Destiny throughout the house and with special people that come over. On our MySpace page, I got pictures of Destiny. You got a vibrator for Christmas at the IBWIP gift exchange. Have you used it yet?
It's a little rabbit. He's my new best friend.
I've went through 3 sets of batteries since Christmas.
No, 1. I used it last night.
Oh, hello.
Blake used it last night.
Oh.
On me.
Not this Blake, not that Blake, but the other Blake, not me.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. The realtor.
The realtor. Oh.
Engineer. He's an engineer, really. That's his job.
Well, we haven't seen each other for like a month.
I know.
Anything new going on?
No. There's some shit going down at work.
Just some shit going down.
I could tell you, since you don't work there anymore.
Right, but you probably shouldn't talk about it on here.
Yeah, not a good idea.
All right, well, that's segment one. We're going to go ahead and why don't you tell us what the next song is while you fill your glass of wine.
I will. Tearing my beer. I don't have a beer, but we're going to listen to Rodeo Kill's song, Ol' Hank, from their album Year of the Steer. Look at them at www.rodeokill.com.
If I had my shit together, you could hear the song too. So, all right, that's segment one. We'll be back right after this.
Who's a Cleveland? Who wants a Cleveland steamer?
Oh, God. Donnie and his Cleveland steamers.
What's that?
Remember the Cleveland steamers with your poop on their face.
Ew!
Can't be
Welcome back to VH1's Behind the Music. In just a couple short years, It Burns When I Pee became a nationwide success. But that success came with a price. Blake had become a hermit and addicted to MySpace and a call girl named Bella. Once she cut him off, he became desperate and even more insane. Here is his former partner from Section86.com, Andy Hughes, to tell us about Blake's final mistake.
Blake became obsessed with getting a better mixing board for the show. Finally, one day he was on Craigslist and found the perfect one. The problem was it was in Bora Bora. He asked me to go get it for him, but with all the work he was bitching about me getting done on the website, I couldn't go. So he went, and that was the last time I saw him.
God.
I wish he would have killed those three guys over a $200 mixing board. That dude was crazy. Oh, that reminds me. I got to email him his download numbers for the week.
Blake received a life sentence without parole January 10th, 2010. When we visited Blake to interview him for the show, he was still writing skits, ADs, and show notes, hoping that someday he will once again rise to the fame and popularity he once had. During the interview, Blake often seemed to fall in and out of reality.
Do you have like a pad of paper and a pen, man? Blake sure would like a pad of paper and a pen.
A tragic story and a tragic end for one of the greatest podcast hosts in the world. Wait, Blake, did you add this into my lines? I think greatest podcast host is just a bit extreme.
Blake sure is sorry, man. Blake sure is sorry.
When we return on VH1 Behind the Music, the story of the most famous of It Burns When I Pee cast, Norma Jean.
Hi, I'm Joey Fuckup, asking you to come along on Joey Fuckup's Hey Ride to Hell, my new podcast where I'll be playing bluegrass, country essentials, cowpunk, rockabilly, and shit that just kind of fits in. Check it out. Go to the MySpace page of my other show, Whiskey and Waterbeds, at www.myspace.com/whiskeyandwaterbeds, and look for it on my player. And while you're there, check out the blog for previous playlist info. So come along on Joey Fuckup's Hey Ride to Hell. I'll buy the beer and drink it for you.
Suck. 72626.
All right, folks, we're back, and it's segment number 2 of episode 23 of It Burns When I Pee. Norma Jean is here with me. Creepy guy is lost and cannot be found.
He fell into a hole, a black hole, with poo.
A poo hole.
A poo hole.
Oh, so Norma Jean, God, it was a long time ago, but we went to the Split Lip Rayfield concert in Champaign.
Yeah.
Do you remember any of that?
I remember the concert. I don't remember the ride home. Well, I do somewhat.
Do you remember puking at the gas station?
Yeah. I remember the girl being really mad because I made a big mess and threw up all over the toilet.
For never seeing Split Lip Rayfield before, what did you think?
They were pretty good. Interesting band with a gas tank.
Gas tank stand-up bass.
Cool.
Yeah, that was cool. And for me, it was really cool because I was standing in front of the stage before the show started, and a lady walked up to me, and she was like, "Are you Blake Clayton?" And I'm like, "Yeah." She goes, "You have the show at Burns When I Pee?" And I was like, "Yeah."
She told me she wanted to lick my boobies.
Did she really? Jeez. So we met Melissa and her husband, and that was super awesome because I like felt like a big, huge star. I'm going to start carrying around a Sharpie. It's like an autograph girls' boobs.
You should.
Yeah.
Good idea.
So if you guys want to look at the pictures from that, Norma Jean took a you took a lot of pictures.
I did a good job, though. Most of them were pretty good.
Yeah, and at one point, I actually had to take the camera from you and turn the flash off.
Yeah, and then they sucked.
Right, but yeah. And
he
then,
didn't care. He took a picture of me.
Yeah, he took a picture
and
of you.
And he was mad because the flash didn't work.
Because
he turned it off.
It was a good time, right?
It was a good time. It was good, fun.
Good times. And It Burns When I Pee is going to be going and seeing Wayne the Train Hancock and Bob Wayne and Rachel Brooke in March. So if you want to come along and get drunk, you can.
When in March?
I don't know.
It depends. You know, Kaylee's birthday's in March and all my sister Anna's. And
my birthday's in March.
13th.
15th.
Think Damn so. It!
We still don't have any donations. You guys have 32 minutes left to be able to see Norma Jean's boobies. It doesn't have to be $50 from one person. You guys can accumulate $10 apiece And you can go to our MySpace page and click the donate button.
Cassin, I come.
Hmm.
What?
So, what's next on the agenda? Ryan's Fantasy Football Super Bowl. Our buddy Creepy won the Kiwani Sports League Fantasy Football in his first year.
Lucky fucker, huh?
Yeah, he was over 0-4 to start the season off with and ended up winning the Super Bowl. So
who's his players? I want to know.
Oh, I don't know who his players were. No.
So some of them were Steelers players or some of them were Ravens players.
Yeah, they're all over the board. So we have a quick audio clip from Ryan since he couldn't be here today, and we'll play that, and then we'll come back, and we will talk about fan feedback.
Sorry, y'all, I couldn't be there to talk about this fantastic Kiwani Sports League championship run that I had, but I just wanted to leave a little message to let you know how I masterfully put this team together. We started out a little rough, 1-5 at the beginning of the year, but we had a strong finish, winning 6 out of our last 7, just sneaking into the playoffs. And then with a dynamic pickup of John Beeson, Patrick Willis throughout the course of the year, the defense definitely carried my team to the championship run. Just still waiting on my trophy from one Andrew Hughes. Andrew, you know how to get a hold of me. I'm waiting on my trophy where I can so proudly display it and hold on to it and hopefully repeat again next year as Kiwani Sports League champ. And believe you me, I will be there live and in person next year with that draft, with my trophy, ready to repeat.
Okay, thank you, creepy guy. And Norma Jean, you always do a really good job at doing fan feedback. Why don't you go ahead and read some of the fan feedback from episode 22?
Okay. We got a whole bunch of fan feedback this time. Kind of surprising. We got a couple pages worth of fan feedback.
Hey.
We're starting to dig in.
Dig it.
Okay, so the first one says, "Thanks, Blake. I'm a huge fan of this show. Blake always exposes me to some new music by someone I haven't heard of yet. I'm grateful.
I exposed myself?
No, they...
I exposed myself to them?
You exposed them to some new music.
Oh, well,
okay.
That's good.
They're grateful for it. Thanks for the show.
If you're grateful, donate $5.
Or 50. Whatever. Okay, so the next one says, "This is the first time," so they've never seen the show before, "that I've ever been glad that it burns when I pee." I've never been glad that it burns when I pee. But it usually doesn't burn when I don't think I've ever had it burn when I pee.
Me neither.
It's bad news when it burns when you pee.
But not when you're listening to the show.
So when you listen to the show, it should burn when you pee?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah.
I've never had that happen. Okay. Oh, somebody gives us some feedback now. It says, "Here's some fan feedback. Your show is cool."
Awesome.
Thanks for that.
See what
it's
you're missing?
It's cold outside. It's a tidbit nipply in here.
But for $50, you can see how nipply it is.
Yeah. All right, this guy says, it could be a guy or a girl. Clammy, chlamydia. "Guys, your show is great. A much-needed kick in the ass for modern country and a great way for those who appreciate real country to find new bands. I am moving back, I'm assuming from Virginia," says Roe, "after a year in Vegas and plan to catch up on all the episodes on my 4-day solo drive across the U.S. What a pain in the ass. That sucks. Four days.
Yeah. But you're listening to the show. There's about 4 days worth of them.
That's cool. "Two of my favorite bands that haven't been on the show are Drag the River and Rodeo Kill,"
We just played Rodeo Kill.
Right.
When fans tell me about a band that they want to hear,
ask and they shall come. Hey.
No pun intended.
Right. "Drag the River are punk rockers from the Descendants and all, grown up and making country. Rodeo Kill is just another great band I randomly found on MySpace and bought their CD. If you haven't checked out these bands, make damn sure you do." Well, we just did.
Yeah.
Okay, so that was from Sean. And then the next one says, "Just listen to the Xmas special. That Bonnie and Clyde song is fucking ace. Love the air raid sound. Looking for more to do." Oh my gosh.
How much more wine can you drink before you can read right?
Not much. No more. I told you, cut me off. I drank more than half that bottle. It's bad. Okay, so Okay, so it's supposed to... See, these people don't, like, spell correctly, so... Should say looking forward. That's why I'm fucked up.
Okay.
It says looking forward, too. "Looking forward to more of your antics in this new year. Crooked Rain." Okay, "Give me some antibiotics, because it burns when I pee."
Oh.
"Always there to give me my favorite artist stuff and learn me..." What? I'm sorry, I can't read it if it doesn't make sense. Okay. And learn me of some great artists I wouldn't come across as easily. And learn of, I think, of... Okay. So I'll read how it
should making,
be.
You're making fan feedback really difficult
tonight.
I know,
but see, it just doesn't make sense. I'll just start reading how it should be. Because it burns when I pee. They want some antibiotics. Always there to give me my favorite artist stuff. And learn of more great artists I would come across. I wouldn't come across as easily. Okay, this one says IBWIP, best podcast.
Yeah.
It Burns When I Pee is the best podcast to listen to for real country music. IBWIP rocks my world. Mine too. Sometimes, now that I got the rabbit.
Do you, like, when you're done with using the rabbit, do you, like, think about the show? Do you, like, oh, I'm fulfilled by It Burns When I Pee?
No. I'm sorry.
Do you just stop and go, thank you, Santa?
Yeah. No, I just thank you, Blake.
There you go.
All right. Or myself, you know. Sometimes I use it by myself.
Thank you, Noma Jean. Thank you thank for you. Pleasing myself.
This is my new best friend, Bobby. I like you.
Bobby.
It could be a boy or a girl, Bobby.
Oh.
Okay. Episode 22 was the best one yet. Okay, maybe I say that every time, but I got a short attention span. Hey, I voted for you on Podcast Ellie, but where can I vote for Norma Jean not wearing a bra again on VidCast? I told you they said that I wasn't wearing a bra. Did it look like I wasn't wearing a bra last time?
You can go to IBWIP.com, click the video section, and you can watch last episode's feed, and you tell us if you think Norma Jean had a bra on. I don't think you had one on.
Yes, I did.
Okay. Thanks.
Why?
Thanks for ruining it for everybody.
Why though?
It was cut real low. I mean, I was like,
it was a baby.
You're
bra.
Like you were like reversed. You were like this. So, I don't know.
I want to see.
I don't mind showing my titties.
Ooh, okay.
Nobody even donated any money.
Fuckers. Check out the bars. Oh, crap. Okay. FreeHank3.org gave us, I've listened to the past three or four shows, and you guys do play some of the best stuff out there. That girl you interviewed on the last episode was amazing. Little Lisa Dixie.
She is amazing.
As soon as I get the sound fixed on this computer, I'm going to listen to everything I can to find of hers. It really is probably our sound.
Yeah.
Believe it or not, I used to listen to radio country up until I was about 12, and I heard the Highwaymen for the first time. Since then, it's been CDs and the internet. If it hadn't been for Free Hank 3 on MySpace or SavingCountryMusic.com, I would have never found you, which is, you know, a little shout out to those people. Nice.
Yeah.
And do a little PSA for them.
Yeah.
Before that, I have never heard a podcast, but y'all seem to like... Okay, that's bad. It's me speaking retarded now, not the person. But y'all seem like the coolest folks, and I thank you greatly for whatever is in that gift package, really. You said, so they must have won something.
Yeah, because actually, people that pay attention to my blogs on IBWIP.com occasionally win something. I gave away some merchandise the other day to see if anybody was paying attention to my blog.
Cool, cool, cool. So they're pumped about whatever's coming and then saying that they're looking forward to our next show. So, adios.
Adios, amigos.
Michael Acre.
All right, cool. So that's the fan feedback?
That's the fan feedback. That's it.
Well, how about I go through the contact information because you're probably wore out from all that fan feedback.
A little wore out.
All right.
Not my bunny.
Contact information. If you want to email me, Creepy Guy, or the lovely Norma Jean, you can email me at blake@ibwip.com, creepyguy@ibwip.com, and...
NormaJean@ibwip.com.
Yeah. And pictures, nude pictures, you want to send us those. You want to email us about the show. If you have bands that you want to hear us play on the show, email us. You can also check us out at MySpace. It's myspace.com/itburnswhenip86. And I actually did a makeover to our MySpace page.
Yep, I've checked it out. Nice.
It's nice. Nice. It's got the very Elvis nice. Glasses picture of you, which is my favorite.
I know, that's on my MySpace page too.
And, or of course, we need you to go to IBWIP.com. You can check out pictures, past episodes. We have a new video section. And very soon, maybe by the release of this episode, we're going to have a message board.
Really? That's sweet.
That's fucking sweet.
It is sweet.
Yes, thanks to Andy Hughes. So we're looking forward to that. And if you want to check out episode 16 or below, you know, when they sucked, you can get those. You can download those shows at section86.com. And you want to check out their other podcasts. They have Vertebreaker and the Hank and Chain Show and the Bootleg Asylum Radio Show with our buddy Howard.
Howard rocks.
Howard rocks ass. And you can now check us out on Twitter. Do you know what Twitter is?
You sent me like 4 emails from it.
I messed
I was
up.
Like, what the F? Because you sent it to my work, and I was like, oh, shit, I can't open this there. So then I got it at home.
So if any of you guys are on Twitter, please check us out at IBWIPCOM, all capital letters, and follow us.
Follow us.
Holla. And finally, you can subscribe to us at iTunes. My stepbrother.
Really?
Yeah, we've been on iTunes ever since day one.
Dude, I'm going to put that on my... Yeah. I'm gonna put it on my iTunes at home.
My stepbrother, Matt, got new iTouch, and he subscribed to us on there so he can listen to us on his iTouch. Everybody's got to show off their cool gadgets now that I can't afford anything because I don't have a job.
I got Blake a new iPod for Christmas, or for his birthday.
What?
Yeah.
Jeez. I wish I was boning you. I could get some cool gifts.
Nice.
And of course, we have the new vidcast, Pia Vision, which we're doing right now as we're taping the show. And you can come in, chat with us live, watch Norma Jean.
I'll talk back to you.
Spank you,
fuck you, suck you, whatever.
Oh, wow. So what else we got going on? What's next?
Oh, so we need some bands or artists to submit some music. Anybody out there that wants to get your stuff heard, let us know. We'll play it over here. Any real country music out there that wants to get us heard?
And also, I mean, if you know any bands that you like, I mean, like I said, we're taking requests now, and I think the last 3 episodes we've done requests. So we'll get these guys on. And whenever you hear a band on one of our shows, please go to their MySpace, leave them a comment, tell them you heard them on our show so they know that that we're helping them out.
Yeah, download some music. Let us know if you hear anything that you want to hear on our show, because we'll play whatever.
Dude.
As long as it's real country music.
Yeah, I'm not playing Kenny Chesney.
No fucking pop country. It can lick our ass.
Oh, man.
I'll bend over for that one.
Speaking of real country music, what do we have up? Oh, okay. Wow.
How about some Ray Price? Who's Ray Price?
His birthday today.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Ray Price, send us an email. We're going to go kind of old school and go back to some old school stuff here pretty soon. So send me an email, remind me you want Ray Price, and let me know who you are so I can give you a shout out on the next episode.
They like me bending over.
Yeah, I bet they did. Why don't you tell us, speaking of real country music, what's next?
The Bob Wayne song called Blood to Dust. It's from his first album on the same name. So I guess it's Blood to Dust is the name of the album. And his interview with you.
All right, Bob Wayne is awesome, and here is Blood to Dust, and we'll be back after a couple songs and an interview.
For Blood to Dust? I like that song. It's good.
Yeah. All right, here is Blood to Dust by Bob Wayne and the Outlaw Carnies.
Chainsmoker. That's what they said.
Hello, all my friends out there in Hillbilly Land. In case you haven't been there in a while, twangville.com has a brand new look. Of course, it's still got the same great blogs, reviews, and contests, but they also have a download section, an album release calendar, and some great playlists to choose from. So go visit the new look at twangville.com, or I'll come over to your house and punch your grandma in the face.
Dude, it's a little much, don't you think? I mean, punching someone's grandma if they don't go to a website?
Creepy. You obviously have never went to twangville.com, have you?
I haven't been there in a while. Grandma? Grandma, are you okay? Blake, you punched my poor little grandma.
I guess you should have went to twangville.com like I told you. Now, any listeners out there want to put your grandmas at risk? Go check out twangville.com now.
I was born in 1977, the year that Elvis died and went to heaven. My mama worked at nighttime singing cover songs. My daddy was a lawman with the FBI. But for cash money, he'd do deals on the side. Mama said he even killed a man once, never even got caught. Well, they fought like hell for several years. Ma told Pa to disappear. That's when old Dano came in and threatened my daddy's life. I didn't see him again till I was 12 years old. My mom pointed him out in a record store. I went up and said, "My name's Bobby." He said, "I'm Bobby too." He still didn't know just who I was. I told him I was his eldest son. I could see the teardrops welling up in his eyes. He gave me his phone number and we said goodbye. It was 2 months later that old Bob died, with a needle in his arm, in some hotel room. They say some things in our lives are best forgotten. I say those things that make you who you are. So be proud of what you got and where you come from. Cause from blood to dust, well, it ain't very far. Next thing I know, I'm 15 years old. Playing electric guitar, smoking dope. It was then I dedicated my life to rock and roll. I got a drummer, and I got a band. You probably never heard of us. We were called Stickman. We played all ages shows until the cops ran us out of town. We moved to the big town, chasing a dream. Weren't cool enough to make the scene. We just ended up drinking a lot and getting all strung out. Miles moved to Frisco and wound up dead. Carl got clean, shaved his head. Old Mike Fisher went back home, had a bunch of kids. Me, on the other hand, I had plans of my own. Brokenhearted, sick and alone, I was gonna kill myself, just like my old man. Now, something happened, I ain't sure what it was. Best I can figure is the Lord up above, while I'm sitting here stone cold sober, singing these fucked up songs. They say some things in our lives are best forgotten. I say those things that make you who you are. So be proud of what you got and where you come from. It's from blood to dust, well, it ain't very far.
All right, welcome back, everybody, to episode 23 of It Burns When I Pee. And we have with us our special guest, Bob Wayne from Bob Wayne and the Outlaw Carnies. Welcome to the show, Bob.
Ow! That does burn when I pee.
Yeah.
That must have been that chatterbox over in Texas.
Awesome. So, first question, where did the name for your band, the Outlaw Carnies, come from?
Well, actually, that name, when I first wrote, you know, my first couple songs, you know, around this project, my music was a lot heavier. Like, I played a lot of metal type music, and I was a roadie for a lot of bands. You know, I'd go out with Zeke and sell T-shirts, and to me, the music business just seemed like a lot like a carnival. Kinda, you know, like packing up the gear every night, going to another town, unpacking it. You know, it just seemed like we were carnies on the road. And I almost became a carny once, and so I always kind of thought, I wondered what it would have been like if I would have got that job. But I ended up kind of doing the road thing, and so I kind of just, like, I came up with the name Outlaw Carnies because kind of associating music with, like, the carnival showbiz lifestyle. I went for the interview, and then we ended up hooking up with, like, a couple. I don't know if I should talk about this or not online, so I don't know.
we'll leave it alone.
Are you interested for anything I talked about?
No, not really.
let's just say I ran into a couple old friends, and we ended up with about a bunch of cases of hard alcohol, and so I never made it to that job interview.
That's explanation enough for me.
Yeah.
So who were some of your artists that inspired you, kind of shaped your musical style? I mean, there's probably a list of them, but who are three or four of the most influential artists that you kind of made you get into music and the style of music you play?
Well, honestly, pretty much, like, I started out in the 90s, you know, playing really fast, heavy stuff, you know, and just really into, like, you know, Metallica, older Metallica and metal and Slayer and, you know, all those bands. And being from Washington and kind of around the Olympia, Seattle area, you know, I was familiar with the Melvins. And I had got the Melvins' new album. At the time, it was their new album. I think it was the Crybaby record. And I was, you know, expecting to hear some heavy shit. And, you know, they have that Hank 3 song on there. They had Hank 3 on their album. And I was like, what is this? What is this? And, I mean, I played that song quite a few times, just on repeat. Just, like, it struck a chord in me that I didn't know that I really had. You know, it was just that he was playing A Ramblin' Man by Hank Sr.
Okay.
And that song coming through, I was expecting to hear metal, and I heard that, and I was like, what the heck was that? And ended up, like, really getting into, like, some, like, Hank Sr. and Johnny Cash, and then from that I got turned into David Allan Coe and Steve Earle and, you know, all these guys, just researching and finding out more things. And right now I'm really into Townes Van Zandt. And the last 2 years I've gotten into, like, a lot of bluegrass, Jimmy Martin. I mean, it just keeps, the more and more you dig, the more and more you find, and the more, there's so much badass music out there that's really old.
Right.
That I had no idea about. And so that's kind of where it really started as far as writing the storytelling kind of acoustic songs.
Yeah, I think the first album you had, I really kind of felt like you had a little bit of storytelling, like a Kris Kristofferson or Willie Nelson kind of storytelling to it, but yet with a little bit of a harder edge. That's what I kind of felt on the first album.
Yeah, and that's another funny thing is I never even heard Offerson until Hank 3 had said, man, you sound a lot like Kris Kristofferson, and I was like thinking, I've never even listened to him. And so now recently in the last year I've picked up, you know, whatever Kris Kristofferson records I could get and started listening to him, and it's just, I don't know, there's so much stuff out there, but yeah.
And that's kind of the reason we play so a lot of the bands that we do, is so people can find the stuff that's not out there and easily accessible. You can, kind of like you were saying, you keep digging, you can find a lot of good stuff.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I'm still finding it. You know, I got this hard drive from Andy Gibson and a bunch of his music, and I just put that thing on shuffle, and every day at least 2-3 days I'm like running over to the iPod to see what was that, you know? And,
right.
And so it's awesome.
So this show is going to be airing toward the end of January, and I see that in March you're going to be starting to tour with Wayne Hancock for a while. How did that all come about?
Well, I met Wayne while I was touring with Hank III, I was roadieing for Hank, and Wayne came out and played a couple songs for a few shows, and one night I ended up riding with Wayne, chasing Hank's tour bus down, trying to keep up, and we became friends kind of right off the bat, just, you know, musically, kind of listening to music the whole trip and telling stories and, you know, damn near dying. You know, he scared the hell out of me. I fell asleep at one point. I woke up, and Wayne's like slapping his face. He's like, don't worry, I'm good. and plus, by the way, if we die on the road, or if you die on the road, you know, that's an honorable death. So I was like, oh, great. I'm like turning the music up, trying to get things rocking. But we hit it off pretty good, and we've kind of been friends ever since. And just started, prank calling each other a lot from the stage. You know, I'll be walking through, I'll be walking through the grocery store, and I'll get a phone call, and it'll be Wayne. He's, like, playing in Montgomery, Alabama or something. He's got me on speakerphone. He's going, Bob Montgomery wants to say what's up. And then, you know, I'll hear the whole crowd. I'll be in the grocery store, like, hello, Montgomery. You know? So we kind of have fun like that. And then started out with this New Year's Eve show we just played in Hollywood, and then we were like, well, let's do a tour. Have some fun. So that's what we're doing.
Cool. So I guess the question, kind of the standard question I have is kind of, I want to know every artist's kind of views on corporate Nashville. And I was wondering if you've had any experiences with any record labels in Nashville, and how do you feel about the difference between the pop country and the, I guess, real country that we promote and that you play?
You know, it's like, I heard so much about that. I had no idea that was even really going on until I heard, Dick and Dixie, you know, and, I was like, oh yeah, that shit sucks. I never liked, the top 40 country. Is just like, even growing up in high school, it was just all bullshit, you know. That was when I didn't listen to any country. I just listened to, and in fact, I thought I affiliated that stuff with country.
Right.
You know, and so I thought country fucking sucked. You know what I mean? Just sure. From, just because that's what
you were exposed to.
Exposed to me was that. So I never had any interest in anything like that. And then when I started hearing, like, Hank Sr., David Allan Coe, Johnny Cash, Willie Nelson, Hank III, all those guys, started like finding out, oh yeah, that's real. Okay, country doesn't suck if you're talking about that stuff. But as far as the other stuff, I just, you know, I'm really not into it. As far as like, I don't really know anyone involved in that.
Sure.
Really. You know, I hear a lot of people talking trash about it, and I just, you know, I don't really get involved with that, really. I don't listen to it personally, so, I mean, and record labels, I did have a record label kind of talk to me, a couple of them, and one guy was like, I got the company card, man, I got the company card, we'll go to anywhere you want, and I was like, how about, and he's like, man, I'm talking about like $100 plate, man, $100 plate. I'm like, well, I'll tell you what, normally I order off the 99-cent menu, but since you got the company card, I'll order off the other one, like a bigger meal or something. And I didn't really take it very seriously, and because I'm kind of leery about, I don't know. Basically, I told him $500,000 cash in a briefcase deal. And he was like, what? Bruce Springsteen didn't even get $500,000 cash. And I was like, well, all right. And I had this red van. I jumped in that. I had my old camper all duct taped up from me and Andy and Joe Buck had done a tour. And the thing was falling apart, and we duct taped the whole camper together all the way around it. and I jumped in that thing, and like shit was falling off of it. And I just cranked some banjo music and rolled off.
There you go.
It was pretty funny. But really, there's not really a lot of, I don't think, a record label, like a big record label, can really do for my kind of art, this kind of music. Maybe, I mean, they could try to, like, I don't know. It wouldn't fit on their radio station,
right.
You know what I mean?
Right. So why don't you tell me a little bit about what life was growing up for you? And one of my questions is, the song Blood and Dust, is it based on real events in your life? Or is it just a story that you came up with?
Oh, no, it's a true story. You know, I sing basically a lot of my songs, either A, they're just completely fictional stories, you know, with some underlying real events.
So you haven't killed a woman and burned her up, then, is what you're saying?
No, never killed anybody. Wanted to, but she did. The first half is true, and the fantasies about doing that was true, but I never did that.
There you go.
And then so some other songs are strictly autobiographical, like Blood to Dust is real, and that every word in that song is true. I made sure when I was writing it that it was like that all the way through. So it's a real song, and, you know, I kind of get the song explains itself, really. I mean,
right. And that's one of the reasons why I picked that song, is because I think, you know, lyrically it goes so well, and it gives the fans an example of kind of your storytelling ability, like in that first album. And it just goes to show that what real life is like and what real country music should be like. It should be about real life stuff. And it was one of the first songs that I had heard. You know, I saw you in Champaign a few years ago with Hank 3. You opened up for him, and, you know, I hadn't really heard you before. And so then, you know, once you'll get home and get the CDs, you know, and really start to, you know, pay attention to the lyrics and stuff, that was one song that really stuck out to me. So you said you are, you know, currently residing in Seattle. What's the music scene like in Seattle? I kind of asked Little Lisa Dixie last month what the scene was like in Washington, D.C., and, you know, she said that it really sucked, but then she went straight to coming out and hanging out in Seattle and how rich of a music area it was. Why don't you tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, there's a lot of music going on here, you know. Honestly, I don't spend a lot of time here. I've been touring a lot. There's a lot of different kinds of music going on here. I mean, and we get all the big concerts. You know, Lisa was down here. We went and saw Down. You know, everyone kind of comes through here. And as far as what's going on here, I go to shows a lot. Like Zeke is still playing. This weekend I'm going to see Zeke and Dwarves, and then 3 Inches of Blood. They're from around here. As far as, like, scenes go, it's kind of like In Blood to Dust. You know, it says, I moved to the big town chasing the dream, but we weren't cool enough to make the scene. It's kind of clicky up here. I mean, from what I've seen, you know, they got this local radio station that play all the... They can make a band if they play them up here. You know, they've done it a lot, but it's just like they play shit, you know, and they're all like, they won't play our stuff, you know. We've tried to get them to play it, but we still do good. You know, we still get 200 people out to our shows, so screw them, you know.
Right.
What I mean? There's a little bit of a scene stir type mentality, as I'm sure there is in every town. But that's one thing I really like about, I've noticed about playing this kind of music, is the fans and the people that come out to see this kind of stuff are real people. They're not wearing their shirt too tight, trying to look cool or whatever. They're real people. They're everyday people that don't even usually go to shows. You know, a lot of people that I see are like, man, I don't even go to shows, but I love this kind of music, you know. So in a way, I'm glad to not be a part of that.
Right, exactly. Well, Bob, it's been a pleasure having you on. Actually, I'm going to come see you and Wayne play in Saybrook, Illinois, in the middle of March. So maybe we can meet up and talk some more.
Hell yeah!
Sweet. So if anybody wants to go buy the CDs, where do they go?
think I'm on iTunes now, or you can go to my website. Basically, if you go to the MySpace, Bob Wayne MySpace, you can click on a couple links there. I'm trying to get just the iTunes rocking, so that way I don't have to mess with the website anymore, because it's a nightmare trying to deal with that and tour and all that.
Exactly. Well, buddy, thank you very much. And like I said, anybody out there that wants to pick up all three of your albums, they're amazing albums, and you crank it out, man. You give it all you got, and you know, even on the live show, I could, you know, you give it a lot of energy. I actually remember when I saw you play with Hank III, you had broken the string on your guitar, and you instantly just picked up Hank's guitar and just, you know, kept going full throttle at it. So.
Yeah, I was like, I hope he doesn't mind about that. He doesn't care. No. I was a guitar tech. I could just, you know, put some new strings on it.
There you go. All right, buddy. Thank you very much, and keep on rocking out, man.
All right, brother.
She done left my.
Probably the most famous cast member of It Burns When I Pee was the sexy show honey Norma Jean. She came on the show and with a bang was a fan favorite from day one. When It Burns When I Pee hit the satellite airwaves, Norma Jean was faced with more fame than she could ever imagine. More fame than she could handle.
Well, to tell you the truth, I don't know how she made it this far in life, really. She got it in her head really fast that she was a diva. I host the Bootleg Assam radio show at flatbeta.com every Friday night, and I used to help out Blake quite often on skits doing voices, and it was real fun to do. But at the end of the very first skit I did with Norma Jean, she called me and Ryan horrible names. She always had to have imported beer and a massage with a hunky bodybuilder before each show. She partied nonstop, went days without sleep. She was well aware that the fans listened for her and her alone, and she used it like a hammer. But when she hit the meth, well, shit. She was a good girl at heart. But fuck with the meth, and the ride to the bottom is real quick and painful. Just look at her now. Just a broken-down cowgirl.
Norma Jean got thousands of emails and fan letters every day. She was doing personal appearances all the time, and even got a couple movie roles. She lived the fast life of a rock star. Little did she know her addiction to meth would cause her world to fall apart. We caught up with Norma Jean at her trailer park home in Farmer City, Illinois, and spoke with her about the tragic turn of events that took place in her and her fellow cast members.
Hell, it wasn't my fault the show plummeted. I was the only reason anyone listened. Blake and Creepy got so jealous of me. They never got mail or anything. Those homos were lucky I stuck around as long as I did.
What about your addiction to meth? Why do you live in a trailer park now instead of a big fancy mansion?
Who said something about meth? You a cop? I don't know anything about no meth. As for the trailer, my husband is a realtor and said that this lot is going to be worth a cool grand someday.
So what do you do for money now? How do you make a living now that the show is over?
Well, I used to do beer commercials, but since my teeth started falling out and I get all these sores on my face, I don't do much TV work anymore. That asshole Creepy guy won't even let me be in one of his movies. Screw him! If it wasn't for me, he and Blake would have never been anything. It Burns When I Pee wouldn't have been anything without me. I'm a superstar.
When we come back, we speak candidly with one cast member whose story isn't tragic, Ryan Creepy Guy Ham. Some would call him a survivor. Others would say he is the same old sick and demented guy he was all those years ago.
That was Bob Wayne with his song Home from his newest album, Driven by Demons. And, I've been driven by demons lately.
Hell yeah?
Yeah, tonight I had to go talk to some Catholic, I don't know, he's not really a priest, some Catholic person about my ex-husband's annulment from our marriage. So I had to go in there and tell him about, you know, why we broke up, blah, blah, blah. And he thinks that I'm the spawn of the devil.
Did he say that? Or did he just act like it?
He acted like it.
Did you say you divorced him because he was bad in bed?
No. I told him that I divorced him because he believed in God and I don't.
Oh. You will seem like the spawn of the devil if you tell a preacher that you don't believe in God.
I'm an atheist. He goes, "What's your current religion?" I said, "I'm an atheist. I don't believe in any religion." He said, "Oh, I see."
Oh.
Scooted his chair back.
Like this. Okay, so everybody, again, we're on the live feed right now. If you donate money to the show by 8 o'clock, if we raise up to $50, Norma Jean is going to show her boobs. You guys are all talk and no action.
For real, you guys always talk about wanting to see skin, you know, but you aren't giving nothing, so I can't give up anything in return.
So you can go to our MySpace page, click the donate button, $5, $10, $2, it doesn't matter, anything you can do to help. We actually had someone donate money. My stepsister-in-law, Liz.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah, she donated $10. So, you know, now that I don't have a job, the cable bill and the internet bill is going to be kind of hard to pay. So I'm trying to raise some money.
Yeah, come on. Get with it, people. I'll show you some skin. All right. So, you know, we have a show every month, and you guys should go to podcastle.com and vote for our show. You guys like the show? Go vote for us and let us know how much you like it.
Yeah, podcastle.com. We talk about it every episode. If you've never heard us before, or even if you listen to us, just go once a month over to podcastalley.com and vote for the show. Usually in the monthly newsletter that I send out, I will send the straight link to the vote. You just put your email address in there. You click on vote. You go to your email address. And then you go to your email, click on it, confirm it, and you voted. So the more votes we get, the higher up we are in the ranks, and more people see the show.
You can always plant tulips for money, Blake. I like tulips. You should bring me some.
Okay, so, you know, the kind of the theme of the show is carnies, you know, hence Bob Wayne and the Outlaw Carnies.
They smell like cabbage and they have small hands, I'm telling you.
They smell like cabbage and they have small hands. Well, I went to Wikipedia.
Ooh, I like it.
You like Wikipedia?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. And I wanted to learn some carny lingo. Carny lingo sounds like a...
Have you been drinking tonight?
No. Carny lingo sounds like something you would do to a girl. Okay, so I'm going to give you the definition of a carny.
Okay.
It's a slang term for a carnival or funfair employee. And it's a well-known as the language they employ. A carny is...
Really?
A carny is anyone who runs a joint, which is a booth, a grab joint, which is a food stand, game and or ride at the carnival. So I got some terms here, and we're going to kind of quiz you. Is that okay?
Sure, whatever.
Okay. Can you give us the definition of a gaff? G-A-F-F. What is, in the carny terms, what is a gaff?
A gaff? A laugh?
No.
Ha 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 ha?
No, it's to rig a game so as to make it unwinnable.
That's bullshit.
Yeah.
Motherfuckers.
Here's one. Lot lizard. What is a lot lizard?
Somebody that hangs around until they can win the game?
No, a lot lizard describes a carny, usually a female, who has multiple sexual partners, also carnies.
Ew!
Or...
She's had mini cabbage hands all over her small baby boobs.
Or one who tends to sleep around or cheat with other carnies on the lot.
Gross! Sick whore.
So if you see some nasty bitch out, you can just call her a lot lizard. For many of you guys that listen to Bubba the Love Sponge, you'll know what a mark is, but do you know what a mark is?
A mark?
Mm-hmm.
Like a hickey on your neck?
In carny terms, it is a target for swindling, especially one whose gullibility has been demonstrated, deriving from the culvert used of chalk to mark the backs of a special rigged targets. The term has entered the popular lingo using as, like, easy mark.
Okay.
Whew. Yeah, that didn't go over well.
Whoa.
A mark is somebody that you can...
cheat.
Right.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. All right. So, how are you doing so far? You're, like, 0 for 3?
Yeah, I know.
Mm.
Cheyenne was a lot lizard.
Cheyenne was a lot lizard. Hell yeah. Who was that?
I don't know.
Give yourself credit.
I don't know.
Oh, that was awesome.
That was funny.
The live feed is helping us with content already. Oh,
that's great. I like it. I like it a lot.
Okay, here's two that kind of go together. What is a possum belly?
Man, that's got to be a pot belly, like a fat belly.
It's also known as a possum gut.
A bigger gut.
It's a compartment under a truck or trailer. Okay, but possum belly queen. Do you know what a possum belly queen is? Or a barbecue?
Some slut that goes and has sex in a trailer.
That is awesome.
Yeah!
It says a possum belly queen is a girl who would have sex in a possum belly, which is a compartment.
She gets in the glove box and opens her legs.
Ugh.
A gunt.
Okay, I got one more we'll do, and then we'll go on to something else. Do you know what a sugar shack is?
Sugar shack. Somewhere where carnies fuck.
It's like you're always on the wrong, like, theme.
Sex, you know, me.
A sugar shack is a concession or food stand that sells cotton candy and other sugary treats. So, not this Blake, not that Blake, but the other Blake should start calling you his sugar shack.
He just did.
Not call you his sugar shack.
Norma Jean's pants. What do they want to do about my pants?
I don't know what they want to do about your pants. All right, Norma Jean. This is one of our favorite segments here at Burns When I Pee. We are going to have Norma Jean watch some porn. Now, I want to kind of segue into this because when I only watch porn on the internet when I'm...
Sugar Shack equals Norma Jean's pants.
Oh.
How sweet.
The guys that listen to it, Burns When I Pee, they just know what to say. They're just so sensitive. They have a way with words.
That's sweet. That was Randy. Thanks, Randy.
Oh, you're blushing. Norma Jean is blushing. Thanks to Randy Bake of Metal Farm Magazine.
I think of you.
At metalfarm.com. There's a little plug for him.
Yep.
So you want to watch some porn now?
Sure.
Okay. Anyway.
It's Twang Nation's favorite part.
The only time I look at porn on the internet is when I'm researching for you.
Yeah.
I don't watch porn on the internet.
I don't believe you. You're full of crap. Especially since you've been off work, so, you know.
I play Guitar Hero and watch porn.
Then you, yeah.
Yeah. And I found a couple of them that I was going to do, but one of them, I watched it, and it was 38 seconds long. And I was like, oh, this is, you know, quick. And I got up and vomited afterwards. So I didn't do that one.
Ew.
So I got another one. And, of course, for those of you who don't know what we do at Norma Jean's Watches Porn, I'm going to play some porn for Norma Jean, and she is going to narrate, correct?
Sure. Yeah, I will. Mm-hmm.
And I will have the show notes. We'll have the link to this particular video.
So I get to put the little muffs on my ears.
Okay. So we're just going to watch a few minutes of it, and I've got a couple of timestamps of stuff you can watch on it because it's 11 minutes long.
Okay.
But we're not going to go the whole 11 minutes.
We're not going to watch Butch deliver. Oh, Butch. I called him Butch.
Butch delivers
Butch delivering his farewell.
Okay, so this is found on tube8.com, and it's called Midget in Chains.
Wow, I like midgets.
Midgets are nice. Look at this down here, this 3D cyber sex game. That. I'm liking that
game. It looks like the doll you got in the other room.
It costs money. Okay, oh, here we go.
Oh, my God. There's two midgets. Having sex.
No, it's one midget.
One midget and a real man. Okay, so the chick is a midget, and she's got a chain on her neck, a leash, and a collar, and the guy's like holding her up. And
yeah, she's completely off the floor.
Whoa. Oh! Another person on the floor. And
the woman on the floor is like...
She's sucking some guy's penis.
And she's like 60 years old, and she's... And so they're showing... Go ahead.
The guy on the floor is holding the midget's chain that's getting fucked, and then the woman on the floor is sucking some guy's dick. Oh, and now he's pulling her in the chain. Oh, puke, and he's kissing the midget.
And the midget looks like a boy.
Midget has boobs, but she looks like a man. Very much like she's got a mullet with no back.
So look at Grandma. She's pretty hot now. Ooh, now they're going to take it to the bed.
He's got a pretty nice ass. She's gross.
So the midget's laying down and...
And, yeah, he's playing with her...
Penis. Or her... Hit,
well. Yeah, the
but
thing
look,
in between her legs.
Grandma takes the chain and says, hey, listen up here, midget. You're going to be doing some stuff to me.
Ew, now the midget's getting on the chick. The old woman.
The old woman.
Oh, my God, her boobs are hanging out of her belly button. Now she's playing with herself.
Okay.
Ew.
All right, so now we're going to kind of pause it here for a second, and we're going to timestamp this, and we're going to go to 3 minutes and 35 seconds for anybody out there that wants to follow along. Oh, I had it perfect. 3 minutes and 30... Okay, so here's the next little segment of it. Watch this. Okay, so Grandma's giving one guy a BJ. Look.
Oh, my God! The midget's got her fist in this old woman. Oh, no. No. But the... That's horrible. She's got her entire hand.
So the midget's got her whole hand up to her wrist in this old lady and licking her hooter poot.
Yeah, that's the sickest thing I've ever.
Okay, so just a couple more minutes, okay? So we're going to timestamp it again to 5 minutes and 12 seconds.
No more. They burn. My eyes burn.
5 minutes and 12 seconds coming up here. Okay, so you think it's the money shot, but it's way too early. But look.
Now she's got both hands! Both hands in there! That old fucking bitch has been rode hard, put away wet.
So is that enough?
That she's got blue nails, too. She's a fucking carny. Put that shit out.
Oh.
I've had enough. The midget's a carny and the old woman's a carny.
Could be lot lizards. Lot lizards.
They are lot Whoa. That's enough.
So, I mean, you've had a couple poop videos, and this was a midget video.
That's gross.
That was gross?
You know there's midgets that strip in Canton? There's a bar in Canton where midgets come and wrestle, and then they strip.
We're going. We should do an At Burns and IP episode from there.
I'll have Craig let me know the next time they come.
Sweet. So, Norma Jean, that was Norma Jean watching porn, and it was called Midget in Chains. And we will, again, on the show notes, post the link to that so y'all can watch it.
Great. I bet you guys want to see that, don't you?
Ugh, it's good stuff.
Pukey pukey.
So why don't you segue into the next song and we'll get rid of the segment through here.
All right. Well, Kings of Hell is coming up. His song, We're Working, from their album Shotgun Wedding. And you can check them out at www.myspace.com. Kings of Hell.
Booyah.
Yeah.
So we're working. Here is the song by Kings of Hell.
Well, I hope you're having a real good time to the work. Like to be having a drink with y'all, but one thing I know for certain. Don't finish this shot, pack them down. Blow our crap and you won't be around. Hope you're having a real good time to the work. Well, that redhead looking at me, yeah, now I'm she won't be around. Hope you're having a good time to work. Well,
listener. Hold it right there. My name is Sheriff Doe, and this here is my sidekick buddy.
My name is Rudy, and I'm your Death Rudy, and I'm the sidekick.
Okay, whatever. Anyway, put your hands up, listener, and reach for the sky.
Sheriff, relax. You're not robbing the guy.
Deputy Rudy, this guy is breaking the law, and now we gotta take him in. Now cuff him.
What law did he break? He looks all right to me.
This here listener ain't been going to twangnation.com, so we gotta arrest him. He just don't understand how great a site it is. The blogs, the reviews. I mean, this site is where you need to go to find out everything about real country music. Now go cuff him, duty.
The name is Rudy, and I ain't cuffing that guy. Let him off with a warning or something. That's what the cops do when they pull my mom over, because she's pretty.
Well, this guy ain't pretty, and he done broke the law. Now, for the last time, Tootie, go cuff him.
It's Rudy. All right, listener. You promised to go to twangnation.com as soon as this show is over. Okay, good. Now I'm out of here. I'm going to go and play Guitar Hero.
Oh, great idea. I'm coming too. I'm going first.
Whatever.
If it were possible for this story to have a happy ending, that ending would be Ryan Creepy Guy Ham. After the show was canceled, he made the transition from podcast co-host to adult film star and director. The three stars of It Burns When I Pee all went their separate ways, but Creepy Guy's paths led him to Santa Monica, California, and he has went on to star in and direct over 300 movies. We sat down with Ryan in his mansion to talk about what he thinks of his former friends and co-hosts.
It's sad, really. I wish it wouldn't have ended up the way that it did. The simple fact is, Blake went crazy, and Norma Jean, she couldn't put the pipe down. I even paid for Blake's lawyers, and I would have put Norma Jean in a couple movies, but she ain't got no damn teeth left. Don't get me wrong, I think about them from time to time. They just couldn't handle the pressures of fame and fortune. Me, on the other hand, I love banging bitches every day and making that big-time scratch. I'm living the dream, kind of like Scarface.
And there you have it, folks, the tragic story of a little old podcast that could, but then couldn't. Another example of how fame and fortune can rip apart friendships and lives. How quickly the fall can come. I am Big G. Thank you for joining us for VH1's Behind the Music, the story of It Burns When I Pee.
Holy shit, that's bad.
Your bunny's name's not Tony?
Thundercloud. That's a good one. No, that's unfortunate. I like the Thundercloud.
The Thundercloud 2000 or something like
Damn
that.
Damn it. Flugger? Flugger? What the fuck is Flugger? That's awesome. I'm going to go home and be like, I named your penis Blake. It's called Flugger.
I'll take my pants off right now.
Don't. Okay. Do not take your pants off. Nobody wants to see that.
I'll do it right now.
Don't do it! No!
Bam, chicka, bam, wow, wow. Bam, wow, wow.
Keep your pants on, man. Oh, somebody said your penis is scarred from the inside because you were married to Cheyenne. What the hell is on your feet? It's donkey. It's the donkey. It's all like Donkey Kong, biatch.
You bitches.
Rug muncher. That's a donkey's name, Rug Muncher. No, you can't have my number. 8675309. Gladly pay you Tuesday for some Norman Jean today.
All right, we're back in segment four. It's been a nice show, hasn't it?
Pretty good.
It's been really well. And the live,
it's the wine.
The wine and the live feed have all worked really well.
If I bring a bottle of wine with me, it's going to be a good show every time.
It's going to be a good time. Yeah. I want to give a special shout out to Norma Jean, of course, for coming. You know, I've missed you a lot since we don't work together anymore and don't see you. And you don't answer the door when I come to your house.
I was seriously in the shower. Well, Blake was in the shower with me, so that's why I didn't answer the door.
Yeah, okay.
If you would have rang the doorbell, Kaylee would have answered the door. And then I would have got out of the shower and would have been fine.
Well, anyway. Definitely want to thank Creepy Guy for doing his lines and coming. He'll be on the next show, the Valentine's show.
The lunchtime show. That's what we're going to call him.
I want to thank Lunchtime Midget. I want to thank Big G from the Texas Roadshow. He did some lines for the skit as well. It was a really elaborate skit. I think it worked really well.
I liked it.
I liked it a lot.
I liked it a lot.
I want to thank Matt and Liz for their support. And Liz actually bought a shirt from the store, too.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And if anybody else wants to buy any Burns on IP merchandise, you can go to IBWIP.com, go to the store, and click on T-shirts, thong underwear, boxer shorts. You name it, we got it. I want to thank Howard.
Panties.
Yeah, there are panties. I want to thank Howard from the Bootleg Asylum Radio Show for doing a voice too, and for all the support that he does helping us get the show together. And I want to thank TwangNation.com, Twangville.com, SavingCountryMusic.com, the Hank 3 Coalition. There's so many people to thank.
Bob Wayne for being on the show.
Definitely. See, okay. you're getting good at this. And Andy Hughes for working hard on the website and getting IBWIP in the message board that will be out hopefully on the 23rd.
Your lovely co-host.
I already thanked you at the beginning, remember?
It's not good enough.
Thank you. Aww. We had a special moment.
Special. Yay.
And I want to thank all the fans who download the show and support us by listening to us. And definitely send us some fan feedback. We love to hear it. And thanks for everybody who showed up on the live chat. I like this. I think this is kind of cool.
Yeah. So we got 2 minutes. 2 minutes, 2 minutes, 2 minutes till 50 bucks or nothing.
2 minutes to 50 bucks or nothing. And gosh, I don't know. You want to say goodbye to anybody on the chat or anything? Or?
Bye, Gary. Bye.
Hey.
Here's a french fry. Hey.
So anyway, thanks to everybody. We love doing the show, and I'm unemployed now, so I got all the time in the world to work on the show.
So give us some money.
All right. Well, as a special treat, we got an interview with Big G, and he's going to talk. We're going to talk a little bit about country music and a little bit about his radio show.
I'm sure that'll be interesting.
As always.
It is.
Norma Jean, thank you very much, dear.
Yep.
All right. Out, everybody. Take care.
Later.
All right, folks. As a little bonus to episode 23, we have with us Big G from Big G's Texas Roadshow. What's going on, big fella?
Good morning, Blake. How you doing, bud?
I'm doing all right. It's been a little rough weekend, but I wanted to give you a call and get the folks who listen to our show kind of in touch with you and your show. We got together about a month ago, and we've kind of been corresponding, and you helped us out with the skit, which was an amazing job. I appreciate that. And just wanted to kind of let everybody know what you're doing and as a DJ and where they can find you.
Oh, yeah, man. And I'll tell you what, I can't tell you how much it means to my career to have been a part of episode 23 of It Burns When I Key. And now I'm on a little old station out here in the hill country of Central West Texas, KWOK 93.5. It's Revolution FM, one of six radio stations. And hopefully by the time that your listeners hear this, they'll be able to pull me up on the web at revfmradio.com.
All right. What can they expect to listen to when they hear one of your shows?
Well, let's see. Can you say country music? How about a little rock and roll, some surf, some hillbilly, some Cajun music? It's kind of my personal jukebox for 6 hours a night, midnight to 6 a.m. Wednesday morning through Sunday morning. I play whatever strikes my fancy. I had one of Hank 3's favorite bands in live on the studio this past Saturday morning. Lucky Tub and the Modern Day Troubadours played out the old London Hall in London, Texas, and they got done with their gig and came back and hung out in the road show for about an hour and a half. So we always have live interviews, have live music, and try to just put stuff out there that folks just are not necessarily going to hear anywhere else.
Exactly, and that's kind of what drew me to your show, too, is we're kind of in the same boat. We're trying to get the really good music that's out there to the people who normally can't get a hold of it.
Exactly, and you would think with this old unknown Henson called at the interstate that all that stuff would be there, but it's guys like you and a creepy guy, beautiful, lovely, and talented Miss Norma Jean, who are keeping this thing real for everybody. And I can tell you guys how much it means to me to be a part of what y'all are doing and to be able to pull you up and listen to the things that y'all are doing, because, you know, it's few and far between. Radio has been corporatized, as we all know, and thankfully the folks that I work for, like I say, have given me my own personal jukebox to express myself. And also we're going to look at doing another one called Big G's Texas Rock Show as well.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, we're going to – there won't be any Eagles in there, let me tell you that.
So what's the music scene like down in Texas? I mean, where in your area, I mean, are there a lot of shows that come through there, or is it hard to find shows, or what?
Well, where we are, we're kind of in the hub of the central Texas area. We're about 70 miles west-northwest of San Antonio. We are the biggest town here, a little place called Kerrville. And we're kind of a hub for about a five-county area. And we've got a lot of the oldest dance halls in the state of Texas are within a 30 to 45 minute drive from my house, and they attract big name entertainment. It's not uncommon for any given night to hear Willie Nelson playing in one town, Johnny Bush playing in another. So, you know, guys that are mainstays and always have been in the country music scene and started out in Texas will play here. We've got a lot of this Texas red dirt music, which in my estimation has run its course. A lot of these guys are doing exactly what they started out rebelling against, and they're all hidden for Nashville. But it's nice to see that you still got the original guys. We get Dale Watson in here from time to time. Still waiting to try to see if we're going to get Hank Three
to
come out this way on his next tour. Wayne Train Hancock, of course, is in Austin. We're about an hour and a half west of there, so we get to go into the city every once in a while and see him play. But we've got a lot of great music, a lot of upright bass, a lot of steel guitar out here.
Maybe I should move down there like you suggested.
It's hard to meet, Hoss.
It's better than this side.
I think the term God's country is overused in most instances, but not when it refers to the Texas Hill Country.
There you go. So you, not only do you DJ, but you also do a little bit of writing. Is that correct?
Yeah, I write for a little regional entertainment magazine out here called Hill Country Happenings, and that's on the web at hchappenings.com. And a lot of the interviews that I get to do on the radio, I end up transcribing those things into interviews for the magazine. As a matter of fact, I've had in the current issue, the January issue of Hill Country Happenings, I've got my interview with Hank Williams III. I have interviewed Unknown Henson in the magazine and on the radio. I've interviewed Billy Bob Thornton, Jimmy Vaughn, the guy who taught Stevie Ray how to play. I've got Willie Nelson scheduled. I've got Ted Nugent scheduled. This past Monday, I interviewed Ray Price. So it's good, and you guys can, all your listeners can check that out on the web at hchappenings.com.
Sounds great. Well, you know, how did you kind of get into the DJ career? I mean, how did that all kind of come about?
Blake, I'll tell you honestly, I've been an audiophile all my life. I've got thousands of LPs and many thousand CDs, and I've got hard drives on top of hard drives full of music. When I was about 42 years old, my wife and kids and I left the confines of the great metropolitan Houston area. And we moved out here to the sticks. I was traveling worldwide in the chemical business and got to the point where I was tired of being gone all the time. And I was down at the radio station visiting a couple of friends of mine who were on air at that point in time. And they said, why don't you come to work for us? Because I'd been telling them, I said, man, I'm so tired of being gone all the time and not, you know, just not being part of what's going on in my family's life.
Sure.
So I jumped it. Chunked the corporate life in the crapper, and got into radio, and here I am.
That's awesome.
Much more, but much more happier.
And that's what matters. Experience. That's definitely what matters. Being happy is being rich.
Follow the passion, man. It's the passion.
There you go.
Thankfully, I was able to make a decent living for many years that basically kind of afforded me an opportunity to get out and explore my passion.
Cool.
And even if I hadn't, of course, I may not be married now if I hadn't, but so far, so good.
Sounds great, man. Well, tell everybody where they can check you out on MySpace, too.
MySpace.com/BigG's Texas Roadshow. B-I-G-G-S Texas Roadshow. And, hit me up and let me know who you are and where you're from, and we'll see if we can make a whole front page or maybe even a folder on the front page of Piers.
There you go, buddy. Hey, Big G, I want to, again, thank you for all that you've done and for me and our show. And anytime you need anything from me, you just let me know, all right, big fella?
Blake, I can't tell you how much I appreciate being a part of it. However, you know, when I say the name down here of the show, people kind of cock an eyebrow at me. And so, thankfully, I said, no, not me. It's not me that they're talking about here. But it's all good, and you guys just keep, man, y'all keep plugging away, keep doing what you're doing, because God knows we need a lot more of you.
All right, buddy, and you keep cranking out the tunes, too, and keep in touch, okay?
Sounds great, Blake. Thanks for the call.